to them at the heart, in such also as pleased him wondrous well. The name of the mayor that was of Diabolus' making was the Lord Lustings, a man that had neither eyes nor ears. All that he did, whether as a man or an officer, he did it naturally, as doth the beast. And that which made him yet the more ignoble, though not to man's soul, yet to them that beheld and were grieved for its ruin, was that he never could favor good but evil. The recorder was one whose name was Forget Good, and a very sorry fellow he was. He could remember nothing but mischief, and to do it with delight. He was naturally prone to do things that were hurtful, even hurtful to the town of Mansoul, and to all the dwellers there. These two, therefore, by their power and practice, examples and smiles upon evil, did much more grammar and settle the common people in hurtful ways. For who doth not perceive that when those that sit aloft are vile and corrupt themselves, they corrupt the whole region and country where they are? Besides these, Diabolus made several burgesses and aldermen in Mansoul, such as out of whom the town, when it needed, might choose them officers, governors, and magistrates. And these are the names of the chief of them: Mr. Incredulity, Mr. Haughty, Mr. Swearing, Mr. Whoring, Mr. Hardheart, Mr. Pitiless, Mr. Fury, Mr. No Truth, Mr. Stand to Lies, Mr. False Peace, Mr. Drunkenness, Mr. Cheating, Mr. Atheism, 13 in all. Mr. Incredulity is the eldest, and Mr. Atheism the youngest of the company. There was also an election of common councilmen and others, as bailiffs, sergeants, constables, and others. But all of them, like to those aforenamed, being either fathers, brothers, cousins, or nephews to them, whose names for brevity's sake I omit to mention. When the giant had thus far proceeded in his work, in the next place he betook him to build some strongholds in the town, and he built three that seemed to be impregnable. The first he called the Hold of Defiance, because it was made to command the whole town, and to keep it from the knowledge of its ancient king. The second he called Midnight Hold, because it was built on purpose to keep Mansoul from the true knowledge of itself. The third was called Sweet Sin Hold, because by that he fortified Mansoul against all desires of good. The first of these holds stood close by Eyegate, that as much might be, light might be darkened there. The second was built hard by the old castle, to the end that that might be made more blind, if possible, and the third stood in the marketplace. He that Diabolus made governor over the first of these was one Spite God, a most blasphemous wretch. He came with the whole rabble of them that came against Mansoul at first, and was himself one of themselves. He that was made the governor of Midnight Hold was one Love No Light. He was also of them that came first against the town. And he that was made the governor of the hold called Sweet Sin Hold was one whose name was Love Flesh. He was also a very lewd fellow, but not of that country where the other are bound. This fellow could find more sweetness when he stood sucking of a lust than he did in all the paradise of God. And now Diabolus thought himself safe. He had taken Mansoul. He had engarrisoned himself therein. He had put down the old officers and had set up new ones. He had defaced the image of Shaddai and had set up his own. He had spoiled the old law books and had promoted his own vain lies. He had made him new magistrates and set up new aldermen. He had builded him new holds and had manned them for himself. And all this he did to make himself secure in case the good Shaddai, or his son, should come to make an incursion upon him. Now you may well think that long before this time, word, by some or other, could not but be carried to the good King Shaddai, how his Mansoul in the continent of universe was lost, and that the runagate giant Diabolus, once one of his majesty's servants, had, in rebellion against the king, made sure thereof for himself. Yet tidings were carried and brought to the king thereof, and that to a very circumstance. At first, how Diabolus came upon man's soul, they being a simple people and innocent, with craft, subtlety, lies, and guile. Item, that he had treacherously slain the right noble and valiant captain, their captain Resistance, as he stood upon the gate with the rest of the townsmen. Item, how my brave lord Innocent fell down dead, with grief, some say, or with being poisoned, with the stinking breath of one ill paws, as say others. At the hearing of his just lord and rightful prince, Shaddai, so abused by the mouth of so filthy a Diabolian as that varlet ill paws was. The messenger further told that after this ill paws had made a short oration to the townsmen in behalf of Diabolus, his master, the simple town, believing that what was said was true, with one consent did open ear gate, the chief gate of the corporation, and did let him, with his crew, into a possession of the famous town of Mansoul. He further showed how Diabolus had served the Lord Mayor and Mr. Recorder, to wit, that he had put them from all place of power and trust. Item, he showed also that my Lord Will Be Will was turned a very rebel and runagate, and that so was one Mr. Mind, his clerk, and that they too did range and revel it all the town over, and teach the wicked ones their ways. He said, moreover, that this Will Be Will was put into great trust, and particularly that Diabolus had put into Will Be Will's hand all the strong places in Mansoul, and that Mr. Affection was made my Lord Will Be Will's deputy in his most rebellious affairs. Yea, said the messenger, this monster, Lord Will Be Will, has openly disavowed his king Shaddai, and hath horribly given his faith and plighted his troth to Diabolus. Also, said the messenger, besides all this, the new king, or rather rebellious tyrant, over the once famous but now perishing town of Mansoul, has set up a lord mayor and a recorder of his own. For mayor he has set up one, Mr. Lustings, and for recorder, Mr. Forget Good, two of the vilest of all the town of Mansoul. This faithful messenger also proceeded and told what a sort of new burgesses Diabolus had made, also that he had built several strong forts, towers, and strongholds in Mansoul. He told, too, the which I had almost forgot, how Diabolus had put the town of Mansoul into arms, the better to capacitate them, on his behalf, to make resistance against Shaddai their king, should he come to reduce them to their former obedience. Now this tidings-teller did not deliver his relation of things in private, but in open court, the king and his son, high lords, chief captains, and nobles, being all there present to hear. But by that they had heard the whole of the story, it would have amazed one to have seen, had he been there to behold it, what sorrow and grief and compunction of spirit there was among all sorts, to think that famous Mansoul was now taken. Only the king and his son foresaw all this long before, yea, and sufficiently provided for the relief of Mansoul, though they told not everybody thereof. Yet because they also would have a share in condoling of the misery of Mansoul, therefore they also did, and that at a rate of the highest degree, bewail the losing of Mansoul. The king said plainly that it grieved him at the heart, and you may be sure that his son was not a whit behind him. Thus gave they conviction to all about them that they had love and compassion for the famous town of Mansoul. Well, when the king and his son were retired into the privy chamber, there they again consulted about what they had designed before, to wit, that as Mansoul should in time be suffered to be lost, so as certainly it should be recovered again. Recovered, I say, in such a way as that both the king and his son would get themselves eternal fame and glory thereby. Wherefore, after this consult, the son of Shaddai, a sweet and comely person, and one that had always great affection for those that were in affliction, but one that had mortal enmity in his heart against Diabolus, because he was designed for it, and because he saw his crown and dignity. This son of Shaddai, I say, having stricken hands with his father and promised that he would be his servant to recover his man's soul again, stood by his resolution, nor would he repent of the same. The purport of which agreement was this, to wit, that at a certain time, prefixed by both, the king's son should take a journey into the country of universe, and there, in a way of justice and equity, by making amends for the follies of Mansoul, he should lay a foundation of perfect deliverance from Diabolus and from his tyranny. Moreover, Emmanuel resolved to make, at a time convenient, a war upon the giant Diabolus, even while he was possessed of the town of Mansoul, and that he would fairly by strength of hand drive him out of his hold, his nest, and take it to himself to be his habitation. This now being resolved upon, order was given to the Lord Chief Secretary to draw up a fair record of what was determined, and to cause that it should be published in all the corners of the kingdom of universe. A short abbreviate of the contents thereof you may, if you please, take here as follows. Let all men know who are concerned that the son of Shaddai, the great king, is engaged by covenant to his father to bring his Mansoul to him again, yea, and to put Mansoul too, through the power of his matchless love, into a far better and more happy condition than it was in before it was taken by Diabolus. These papers, therefore, were published in several places, to the no little molestation of the tyrant Diabolus. For now, thought he, I shall be molested, and my habitation will be taken from me. But when this matter, I mean this purpose of the king and his son, did at first take air at court, who can tell how the high lords, chief captains, and noble princes that were there were taken with the business? First they whispered it one to another, and after that it began to ring out through the king's palace, all wondering at the glorious design that between the king and his son was on foot for the miserable town of Mansoul. Yea, the courtiers could scarce do anything either for the king or kingdom, but they would mix, with the doing thereof, a noise of the love of the king and his son that they had for the town of Mansoul. Nor could these lords, high captains, and princes be content to keep this news at court. Yea, before the records thereof were perfected, themselves came down and told it in universe. At last it came to the ears, as I said, of Diabolus, to his no little discontent, for you must think it would perplex him to hear of such a design against him. Well, but after a few casts in his mind, he concluded upon these four things. First, that this news, these good tidings, if possible, should be kept from the ears of the town of Mansoul. For, said he, if they should once come to the knowledge that Shaddai, their former king, and Emmanuel, his son, are contriving good for the town of Mansoul, what can be expected by me but that Mansoul will make a revolt from under my hand and government, and return again to him? Now to accomplish this, his design, he renews his flattery with my lord will be will, and also gives him strict charge and command that he should keep watch by day and by night at all the gates of the town, especially ear gate and eye gate. For I hear of a design, quoth he, a design to make us all traitors, and that Mansoul must be reduced to its first bondage again. I hope they are but flying stories, quoth he. However, let no such news by any means be let into Mansoul, lest the people be dejected thereat. I think, my lord, it can be no welcome news to you. I am sure it is none to me, and I think that, at this time, it should be all our wisdom and care to nip the head of all such rumors as shall tend to trouble our people. Wherefore I desire, my lord, that you will in this matter do as I say. Let there be strong guards daily kept at every gate of the town. Stop also and examine from whence such come that you perceive do from far come hither to trade, nor let them by any means be admitted into Mansoul, unless you shall plainly perceive that they are favorers of our excellent government. I command, moreover, said Diabolus, that there be spies continually walking up and down the town of Mansoul, and let them have power to suppress and destroy any that they shall perceive to be plotting against us, or that shall prate of what Shaddai and Emmanuel is intended. This, therefore, was accordingly done. My lord will be will hearken to his lord and master, went willingly after the commandment, and with all the diligence he could, kept any that would from going out abroad, or that sought to bring these tidings to Mansoul from coming into the town. Secondly, this done in the next place, Diabolus, that he might make Mansoul as sure as he could, frames and imposes a new oath and horrible covenant upon the townsfolk, to wit, that they should never desert him nor his government, nor yet betray him, nor seek to alter his laws, but that they should own, confess, stand by, and acknowledge him for their rightful king, in defiance to any that do, or hereafter shall, by any pretense, law, or title whatever, lay claim to the town of Mansoul, thinking belike that Shaddai had not power to absolve them from this covenant with death and agreement with hell. Nor did the silly Mansoul stick or boggle at all at this most monstrous engagement. But as if it had been a sprat in the mouth of a whale, they swallowed it without any chewing. Were they troubled at all? Nay, they rather bragged and boasted of their so brave fidelity to the tyrant, their pretended king, swearing that they would never be changelings, nor forsake their old lord for a new. Thus did Diabolus tie poor Mansoul fast. Thirdly, but jealousy that never thinks itself strong enough put him, in the next place, upon another exploit, which was yet more, if possible, to debauch this town of Mansoul. Wherefore he caused by the hand of one Mr. Filth an odious, nasty, lascivious piece of beastliness to be drawn up in writing, and to be set upon the castle gates, whereby he granted and gave license to all his true and trusty sons in Mansoul to do whatsoever their lustful appetites prompted them to do, and that no man was to let hinder or control them upon pain of incurring the displeasure of their prince. Now this he did for these reasons. 1. That the town of Mansoul might be yet made weaker and weaker, and so more unable, should tidings come that their redemption was designed, to believe, hope, or consent to the truth thereof, for reason says, the bigger the sinner, the less grounds of hopes of mercy. 2. The second reason was, if perhaps Emmanuel, the son of Shaddai their king, by seeing the horrible and profane doings of the town of Mansoul, might repent, though entered into a covenant of redeeming them, of pursuing that covenant of their redemption, for he knew that Shaddai was holy, and that his son Emmanuel was holy. Yea, he knew it by woeful experience, for his iniquity and sin was Diabolus cast from the highest orbs. Wherefore, what more rational than for him to conclude that this, for sin, it might fare with Mansoul? But fearing also lest this knot should break, he bethinks himself of another, to wit. Fourthly, to endeavor to possess all hearts in the town of Mansoul, that Shaddai was raising an army, to come to overthrow and utterly to destroy this town of Mansoul. And this he did to forestall any tidings that might come to their ears of their deliverance. For, thought he, if I first bruit this, the tidings that shall come after will all be swallowed up of this. For what else will Mansoul say when they shall hear that they must be delivered, but that the true meaning is, Shaddai intends to destroy them? Wherefore he summons the whole town into the marketplace, and there with deceitful tongue, thus he addresses himself unto them. Gentlemen and my very good friends, you are all, as you know, my legal subjects and men of the famous town of Mansoul. You know how, from the first day that I have been